You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24 with me, Daniel Bache, host of The Entrepreneurs. With many of us stuck at home and with gyms closed for now, it's a great time for at-home fitness platforms. From streaming HIIT classes and yoga to something more elaborate involving spin bikes and rowing machines, there is a great opportunity for fitness companies to connect with people at home when they can't sweat together. And in some cases, to build on the digital communities they already have. So, let's get physical. Our focus on at-home fitness today is inspired by a feature in the latest issue of Monocle magazine for May, written by our business editor, Venetia Rainey. Venetia joins me now. Venetia, tell us more about the story you've reported.
So, yeah, what I wanted to look at was the rise of home fitness 2.0. So, of course, people have been working out at home for decades, you know, Jane Fonda and her leg warmers and all of that. But this is really the sort of new version of it, and it's connected. That's the key to what's different that these companies are bringing right now. So, for example, Peloton, the company most people have heard of, you get on your bike and you do a live workout with other people, not right now because they've stopped their live classes, but normally, and you can high-five people and you're in a virtual Peloton. It's exciting, it's sociable, it's connected. Connected is the buzzword for all of these companies. So I spoke to a bunch of different companies, both startups and some sort of older industry giants, such as Italy's Technogym. One of the startups that I spoke to is called Hydro, and they put out a similar-ish product to Peloton, but it's based on a rowing machine. You can use it for things other than rowing, but again, the idea is that you can row in a virtual team on the river in, for example, Hudson Bay.
Let's hear now Venetia's interview with Hydro founder Bruce Smith.
So, Bruce Smith, welcome to the program. I wondered if you could start by telling me a little bit about why you set up Hydro. What was the niche in the market that you were looking to fill?
So, rowing is one of the, it's maybe the best kept secret, or it was a few years ago, the best kept secret in terms of helping people feel better. And we have this really great opportunity now with the change in technology to transport you from your living room out onto the Charles River or out onto the River Thames or out onto Indian Creek in Miami and give you at least a taste of what it's like to be out on the water. And it just, it makes what is the best exercise, which was really boring, actually really fun to do in your home and connected with other people. So it was too good an opportunity to pass up. We had to grab it.
So let's talk a bit more about that connected element, because of course exercising at home is not particularly new. People have been doing it since the 80s, Jane Fonda and her leg warmers and all of that. But what is new and what has been around for sort of the last 10 years or so is this connected, more interactive element. And we're seeing a lot of companies move into this space now. The name of the company that a lot of people will have heard of in this realm is Peloton, of course, but there are a lot of different companies working on different products which are trying to really bring a live or sort of more sociable virtual element to fitness. Why do you think that's increasingly popular?
I think a lot of people spend so much time with their screens and are so busy. What happens with connected fitness is that you actually are really engaged in real time. So it's a little bit like a Zoom meeting, but instead of just talking to somebody, you're actually doing something physically together. And that is enormously powerful. And I don't think the world has fully grasped what that means.
Do you think that now, given everything that's going on, countries in lockdown, varying states of lockdown, but people definitely spending a lot more time at home and desperately searching for ways to stay fit, do you think now is a time that the markets and just people in general will start to appreciate the power of that a bit more? And it could be a really good, actually, opportunity for companies like yours?
It's definitely a huge tailwind for us. We've seen an enormous increase in demand. The coronavirus is a terrible, terrible thing for a huge number of people, and the economic pain that people are suffering is enormous, but it is also, there are a few silver linings, and I think one of them is that it is accelerating our understanding and appreciation of what's possible in the world. And one of the new technologies, which was just beginning to be adopted, is connected fitness. I think it's going to accelerate in a huge, huge way, and I'm not sure that people are ever going to go back to gyms in the same way that they did before, once they've discovered how much fun it is and how efficient it is, and just how enjoyable it can be to work out in your home with other people.
So you see this trend definitely continuing. You don't think this is just a blip while people are forced to stay home?
We imagine that the world is divided into thirds. So one third of the people are not going to be concerned about any kind of transmissible disease like coronavirus or MRSA or SARS, and they're going to hurry back to the gym because they really love going to the gym and they love that social experience. And then a third of the people are going to work their way back gradually because they do like that sociability. But another third of the people are going to discover that, you know, this is really satisfying and really fun. And they're going to remain concerned about the increasing transmission of germs publicly. Once you learn how germs are transmitted, it's pretty hard to forget. And so we see this as a permanent tailwind, part of people's education, and also a big acceleration of people's awareness of what's possible.
Okay. And finally, just tell me a little bit about your business model. So you have the product itself, and that has a screen, which I think I'm right in saying you can move around. So you can also do things on the mat, like yoga and that sort of thing. Is that right?
Yeah. So the Hydro rowing machine is I have to say this because I helped to build it, but I really do think it's remarkable. It's quiet and it has some new technology that is patented. So it's a genuinely new kind of rowing machine that provides resistance that's controlled by a computer algorithm. And it's pretty to look at. It won a big design award recently. And so we hope that you'll keep it in your living room. So you have the rowing machine, and then you also have the screen, and through the screen you sign up for a subscription service, which is $38 or 38 euros or 38 pounds a month as we expand internationally. And the machine itself is about $55 or $60 a month, $2,200 if you buy it outright from us. And those two things combine. And what we found is that families as a whole are using the Hydro. So it's not just one person in a home, but it's literally everybody who signs up with an account for us. So it's actually, I think, a little bit cheaper overall for people's fitness needs than signing up individually for gym memberships and going to boutique classes. For us, that's really important that it is accessible to a large number of people.
Okay, nice. Well, thank you very much for joining us. That was Bruce Smith, founder of Hydro.
Good. Thank you.
That's Hydro founder Bruce Smith speaking to Venetia. Venetia, that is absolutely fascinating because I wonder what the market is for people to actually go out and buy this equipment. I mean, you think of people's treadmills gathering dust in basements or in homes and things like that. Obviously, the Peloton bike is very expensive. But did you find out anything more about that?
Yeah, so you'd be surprised how big the market is. This equipment is, as you say, not cheap. The Peloton bike, for example, is around 2,000 euros. And they also put out a connected treadmill, which is around 4,000 euros. Plus, you have the monthly subscription fee to access their video content and all of that. But most of these startups aren't public, so you don't get to read their financial data. Peloton, however, did go public last year, so we got a little peek into their financials. And it does make a lot of money. Their revenues were 850 million euros. The problem is that they haven't been able to make profit because they've spent so much money on marketing and advertising. So they do see losses every year. That's something we learnt. But clearly people are buying these things, even though they're very expensive.
You mentioned some of the startups as well. Is there any interesting themes there for companies that may not be selling equipment but are selling a subscription service?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the other companies I spoke to is a New York-based firm called LiveKick. And their idea is just a platform where you can join yoga classes, for example, meditation. They also do nutrition and cooking classes. And you're just part of this virtual world where you learn a new skill. And you don't need to have any equipment. You just log on your computer and you pay, for example, $15 for a class. And I did one of the yoga classes. It was really fun. I got a peek into someone's immaculate apartment in Munich, said hello to some other people in their living rooms around the world. Yeah, it was enjoyable.
I have been enjoying Zwift at home, which is great. It's basically a video game for cycling on your home trainer, but you can now, of course, join professionals who are training because they aren't out on the roads, and your friends as well for rides. That's been fun. Is there anything else you've been enjoying personally at home in Athens?
I have been experimenting a little bit. I've been doing some of Peloton's classes. They're not live at the moment, but they do have a really big range of various workouts from like cardio to strength that you don't need equipment for. I do not have a Peloton bike. I've also been trying Joe Wicks's workout on YouTube. This is a big one in the UK. I'm not sure how much it's traveled outside of the UK, but he does sort of PE classes every morning, which is suitable for the whole family. And he also does high intensity interval training classes. And I've got to say, they do make make you break a sweat. No equipment needed again, but it's a fun way to keep yourself active while you're stuck at home.
You mentioned sort of the 2.0 world of home fitness. I wonder how big a market this will be going forward for companies that offer subscription services for people that want to sign up, maybe don't want to go to the gym all the time or can't get there, but, you know, are willing to pay. Right now, a lot of those things are for free, but companies obviously need to make some money.
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And that's one of the points that I really try to tackle in this article. How big is that market going to be? You know, it's very easy to be caught up in the headlines around companies like Peloton. But what does that market actually look like? Will it keep developing? Is this just a fad? I got some very different opinions on that. Obviously, a lot of the companies involved think there will continue to be an explosion. They point to the fact that when you learn about germs in gyms and other public places, you can't really unlearn that. So maybe people will want to keep working out in the privacy of their home. But I also spoke to some people who monitor the fitness market and, you know, assess worldwide trends and this sort of thing. And they were much less convinced. They said that this isn't, although it is different, it's not that different from the home fitness world that's been around for decades. And that, you know, it's still easy to not do it. You can then just avoid switching on your computer to do the workout. That's the problem with working out at home. It's very easy to avoid. Whereas when you go to a gym or a scheduled class, you've got someone shouting at you, keep going, and you're not going to leave the room halfway through the class because it would be embarrassing. So they were a bit more skeptical about what that market actually looks like. But I do think we'll see an increase. It's just a question of by how much and who will be the big players that will win.
We shall see when we are allowed to go outdoors again and have the choice of working out from home or outdoors or in a gym. Venetia Rainey, Monocle's business editor. You can read the entire report in the brand new May issue of Monocle magazine. Now, we mentioned that many gyms and established brands are getting in on the game of streaming and on-demand content. For more on that, I spoke to Jason DeSavory, the founder of London-based Core Collective, the boutique fitness brand launched in 2015, with three locations in Knightsbridge, Kensington, and St. John's Wood. Before the coronavirus pandemic, Core Collective had a new digital offering in the works called CCTV. But when they were forced to close the doors, they had to turn plans into action almost overnight, moving up their release. Here's my conversation now with Jason.
We've been working on it since January. The idea is that it would be sort of a resource for people who are already members or already coming to do workouts when they couldn't make it to the gym or work on something that we do in our classes that they wanted to improve on, and maybe if they're on holiday, and then also open it up to our wider following of people that aren't close to the gym. And so we've been working hard on January and February with a view that it would launch in April. And I think from early end of Feb, we decided this virus thing doesn't look so good. Let's see if we can bring this forward. And then it sort of coincidentally launched pretty much the day we were closed down. And then, so since that's happened, we've been, you know, originally the idea, the classes had, we have some Pilates and yoga and loads of stuff like that. But there was also quite a lot of equipment based, you know, rowing machine stuff needed and some kit. And so we've had to pivot towards doing more bodyweight classes, which we're sort of scrambling to launch as quickly as we can because everyone's stuck in their living room at home.
Yeah, fair enough. What has the response been? I know a lot of gyms are obviously struggling because they can't get people through the doors for a financial transaction and you know, to pay up their memberships. But what has this allowed you to do with your members?
Well, I mean, hopefully give them something. It's a way to keep connected with the trainers that they like and they're used to. It's $12.99 for unlimited classes. So it's a pretty cheap entry point and everyone gets 7 days trial. So we've had a really good pickup, not just from people who are members of the gym before, but from brand new people as well. I think we're lucky that because we've actually been working on it for a while, the quality of filming is quite a lot better than some of the things that are out there, which is obviously we have some of that on our Instagram lives as well, but we're lucky that we've got a base library of like good quality content that others perhaps don't have.
And what's the actual practicality of making that content now? Obviously, as you set out, Jason, you are already working on this project, but how are you sort of responding now? You've talked about having to introduce different types of classes. How does that work?
So we filmed about 30 or 40 hours worth of stuff. And I sort of have this view that work, maybe it's because it's how I am, but my workouts at home tend to be quite a bit shorter than even 45 minutes or an hour. So we've tried to focus on like 15 minute kettlebell workouts or 20 minute sweat sessions and things like that. So we had a lot, we've got a lot of classes in the pipeline that are still being edited. In terms of pivoting towards bodyweight stuff, we've set up a filming unit inside one of our closed studios, and trainers are going in every now and then to film a class. And that's how we're sort of getting new stuff. So it's a bit challenging in itself, but that's how we're doing it.
Yeah, and by the looks of it, you're finding ways to get it done, which is fantastic. Obviously, you know, for a business owner, there's a few sides of the coin here now. It's a bit of a sensitive time to push business, but at the same time, people out there in your network will be wanting to support you. So how do you feel about that? How do you feel as you both harness that and try to be sensitive to the times we're in?
I think, you know, the basis of anything we try and do is to make something good value and compelling. So we don't think that with our database of classes that, and the price point, that it's particularly opportunistic. It's something we were always planning to do. And we think it's more of a service for our customers who want to keep fit and healthy and stay connected with us. So, you know, it is a difficult time as a gym business where it's illegal to go to your gym. It's tough for, and I think, you know, people, our customers want to see us survive. So I think they're pretty happy to pay $12.99 a month and get something good out of it.
You know, you were obviously developing this for a while. That got sped up, as we've mentioned several times. But what have you learned through this? Is it, you know, changed your thinking of what it could be going forward?
Yeah, definitely. I think the merging of at-home workouts or on-demand workouts and physical interactive stuff that people do in real life normally, I think that was always on the cards and starting to happen, whether it's like data feedback from your classes or stuff like that. I think this has clearly turboed it up by about 18 months into about 3 weeks. So, and we're trying to always, you know, we're talking daily about how will this be supportive and integrated going forward? Because we think it's here to stay, and we think it's going to be, you know, people locked in their houses for months working out at home are going to become increasingly comfortable with the prospect of working out at home. I'm not saying that they won't also want to go out again, but perhaps we sort of see that people will do two workouts in the real world a week and maybe one at home because it's more convenient even than going to a class. So we want to make sure that the offering is coherent in the context of what we do in the gym, and also find ways that we can monetize it in the future. I think we're looking at streaming live classes out of some of our studio spaces, which would be a much cheaper price point. So I think it's more about accessibility and make sure we're offering some, it's not just for the sake of it. We actually do think that if you can get someone doing one extra workout a week, whether they're doing it at home or in the gym, it's better for that person. So that's what we're trying to do.
Jason, just lastly, how has this been for you and the team? How are you managing to pull through this and make sure you stay on the mission driving forward?
Yeah, that's all hanging in the balance. But look, I think in terms of as a team, everyone's really missing. You know, we've got a young, dynamic team that were enjoying what we were doing, and it's just being locked up in your house is a real disappointment. In terms of how we communicate, it's pretty natural, really, because with three gyms open 7 days a week, we're rarely face-to-face with each other for long periods of time anyway. So, you know, Zoom and WhatsApp and whatever are just natural extensions of what we were already doing. There's not quite as much to get our teeth into at the moment as normal, but we're looking at ways where we can survive and come out the other side. You know, whilst our revenue stopped, our costs haven't stopped. So, you know, like rent is a massive part of our business costs. And so, yes, it's challenging, I think, at the moment.
I lied. I have one more bonus question. I'm just curious about how hungry you think people are to get back into the gym. Because you know, when you know you find a great instructor, a great teacher, and you connect with them on that level, when you then log on and see them, you know, in a virtual class, you're going to connect to them that much better because you know them, you know what they're like, they know what you're like. So how hungry do you think people are to actually get back in the physical gym?
I would say incredibly hungry. I mean, I think if this experience has shown people anything, it's that we really miss that social element to our lives, and so I think people are getting gagging to get out and back into the gym and out to restaurants and resume normal life. I think, I hope, maybe that's wishful thinking, but I don't think, you know, I mean, certainly if I'm anything to go by, the fourth set of an online workout is slightly less likely to happen than if I'm in a studio being pushed by an instructor. And so, yeah, I think, you know, working out at home gets you part of the way, but people will be looking forward to getting back to their routines and living life.
Very well said, Jason. Thank you for your time.
No problem.
Jason DeSavory, the founder of London-based Core Collective. You can find out more about their CCTV platform at core-collective.co.uk. That's all for this week's episode. My thanks to Jason and to Christy Evans, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.